Hello, and thank you for listening today to the Star City Podcast, the place where for the next few minutes you can listen in on conversations with people just like you, sharing their stories about life, family, work, and faith. I'm your host, Brian Smith, and today we're going to be talking about a wonderful new ministry that opened up earlier this year called Lampstand Ministries. And here to talk with us about it is my friend and ministry neighbor, Keith Farmer. Keith, welcome back to Star City today.
Brian, thank you so much for allowing us to be here today to share a little bit about the Lampstand and all that's taking place within that ministry, serving girls in and around the Roanoke Valley.
Boy, Keith, let's dive right into this subject then, as we have a lot to talk about when it comes to the Lampstand Safe House. What exactly is Lampstand Ministries or the Lampstand, and what is it that they do?
It's multifaceted. The Lampstand, often people will think, is the shelter or the safe home, and that is true. That is part of it. We have a safe home for girls ages 12 to 17, kids that have been rescued from human trafficking, sex trafficking within the Commonwealth of Virginia. So it's that's part of what we do. And in 2013, when we met with the FBI, that was the initial need that they shared. And so we started off, however, in 2013, helping to bring awareness to the issue of human trafficking, praying about a shelter. Our commitment is always to remain debt-free. So how do you open up a shelter without taking on debt? And, you know, you ask the Lord to provide, and He does. It took 9 years and 1 month from that initial meeting till when the first girl arrived at the shelter. However, in the meantime, we've been providing educational resources within the schools, training law enforcement, healthcare workers, hotel workers, people within the local church, what to look out for, and best practices of how to work with these girls, the trauma that they've endured, assisting their families to walk through a very, very long process of healing and restoration with the young ladies. So the Lampstand provides shelter care, wraparound services for girls and adults in our community that do not need necessarily shelter care, but they need care. So we actually have a team that works with girls in the community that may be living at home, still attending high school, or young adults living on their own or with family. They're receiving support services, but the shelter is now open and operating. We did make one change recently. The initial need was short-term care, and we did open the shelter with our licensure through DSS as a short-term emergency care shelter. However, as we continue to learn about the needs of these girls, we've made one change where now we've changed it to long-term. So now the girls, instead of 90 days, they'll stay up to 12 months, because we're seeing once you have a young lady in there, the first 30, 45, maybe 60 days, the level of trust really changes. And then when you go to evaluate the needs, you'll realize, okay, that initial interview, working with this young lady, doing the assessment, we could have missed some things, or we could do better. And so the amazing staff and all the training that they go through with TBRI and trauma-informed training, just realized we needed to make that change, and they've really recently made the change. We had the complete staff of 27 go away for 2.5 days to be retrained, spend time in prayer and fellowship. And we're just so thankful for what the Lord allows us to do in a very difficult situation. But this is a place that He can shine, and He is shining bright.
Wow, what a wonderful new work. Keith, how big is the problem of sexual exploitation when it comes to not only in our Commonwealth, but then also the bigger picture across the United States?
Well, people often think it's just an issue in the big city or in foreign countries. And yes, it's an issue there. However, communities just like Roanoke, or even the more rural communities where there seem to be really close-knit families, small population, it's everywhere. It's estimated anywhere from 100 to 300,000 victims per year is an estimate, and that's a 200,000 swing in your numbers. And the reason is it's hard to identify. A number of victims are never identified. They will go through life carrying this trauma with them until somebody maybe recognizes or they come forward seeking help. Within Roanoke, we've seen it. I've worked with girls as young as 14, sitting with them face-to-face, talking.
Wow.
But the Lampstand Ministry itself serves the Commonwealth of Virginia. The Lampstand Safe Home is the only designated human trafficking shelter for juveniles in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And so when you talk about serving girls, it's not just Roanoke. We do have girls from Roanoke, But we have girls from across the Commonwealth of Virginia that are sent to us either through families, Department of Social Services. We work closely with the FBI, Homeland Security. Those are our main referral sources. We're working with the U.S. Attorney's Office a lot. We have them tomorrow as part of a training for law enforcement. But when you talk about the issue, Virginia normally ranks within the top 10 of the 50 states.
As I understand it, once a teenage girl finds herself in the situation, she may even be younger than her teens, it's not a short-term problem. It can go on for years in her life, can it, until she's rescued?
Yeah, definitely. And if she's not rescued, right, they say the average age of entering into human trafficking right now is around the age of 14. And the young lady or boy, but often the young lady, within 5 years, if she's not rescued, she's probably dead.
What a tragedy. Keith, what does the church, and for that matter, the public in general, need to know and understand about human trafficking and the sexual exploitation when it comes to recognizing and helping those who are trapped in that horrible world of abuse? You even said that your own staff had to be retrained to understand how to better connect with and relate to and help these girls that you're trying to rescue.
Well, the first part of the question, who is vulnerable? And that's anyone and everyone. If you've got a 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old girl specifically, maybe from the best possible home, and somebody comes up to her, I won't go into the details, but traffickers are very creative. They know some of the personality traits to look for if this is going to be an easy target or a tough target. So once they determine this may be an easy target, they can prey on the girl's weaknesses. For example, they'll say, hey, I know that everybody else seems to be getting that new iPhone 14 and you're still using the 10 or the 11. I know things must be tough at home and I'm a new kid here at school too or in the community. I'd love to help you. Would that be okay? And you start to earn trust. And literally sometimes a trafficker within a matter of weeks can take a kid's trust and move that from the family to the trafficker. And once they have the trust, it's almost like Stockholm syndrome. The trafficker, even though they get into a relationship where they're going to be abused and mistreated, they will put their trust and favoritism to the trafficker over family because they have been convinced this is the one person that truly loves me. Even though what I'm going through is horrible, this is something that we just have to do. And it's the mentality that we have to do it together. So, you know, it's very difficult. They're very crafty, very creative.
Well, Keith, I imagine, as in other similar crimes, that social media world is also a very dangerous place where you have traffickers trolling for kids, whether it's TikTok or Instagram or Facebook. So this is something that parents shouldn't just assume that their kid's social media, their daughter's social media world is okay and needs to be private.
No, nothing. If you've got a kid in the house, nothing needs to be private. They should not lock their doors. Their account should not be off limits to you. You may not be their friend because you're not their friend. You're their parent, so you should act like it. And so you need to be the one to take control and make that clear early on. If they've got a phone, they've got a computer, they've got social media. Because I'm older generation. I'm going to be 58 this year. And so, you know, some of the FBI agents that we work with are about the same age. And, you know, my generation, you would warn your kid from going to the arcade or the ice cream parlor or hanging out in the park.
Right.
You know, look out for the bad guy. You know, now the FBI says, you know what? The human trafficker is actually in your house right now with your child. And they're sitting on the couch beside you because they're talking to them on social media or they're playing a game with them on social media. So the traffickers in your house, with your kid, sitting beside you. How does that make you feel quite uncomfortable?
Wow.
And so, and the traffickers are very creative, and some of the apps that are out there are very creative. Years ago, there was an app that was created. The icon looked like a calculator on your phone. So if a parent goes to look at the different apps, well, there's another calculator. It wasn't a calculator. So it was just open a back door to another app to communicate on social media, but to keep everything hidden. So there's a bunch of creative things out there. Traffickers are creative, but there's also some really good monitoring software that would be out there that you can put on devices these days so you can track what's being said, keystrokes that are being typed, and different things like that, just just to let your kids know that you care. You know, they may not, the kid probably does not have bad intentions, and you're not trying to protect them from harming someone else. You're trying to protect them from someone else harming your child and luring them into something that they can't get themselves out of. So it's just having those tough conversations, you know, with the kids. It's not easy. We recently had a gentleman from the Bedford County ICAC office here working with us and carrying on some of the conversations that he has to carry on. And it's a very difficult. I would not be able to let him speak through here on your podcast, because some of the things that he has to say in some of his trainings may not be acceptable to some of the listeners, but it's very raw and it's very real, and it's just some of the things you've got to be on the lookout for.
What are there any websites or places that you could recommend that parents could go to find some of these apps that are helpful in monitoring your children's social media world?
There are, and what I'll do is I'll send you that list so you can create some links to be able to share, and I'll go to, I'm with the FBI and the U.S. Attorney tomorrow, and then I'll reach out to ICAC this afternoon,
okay,
and I'll get you a list that's just something that you could share.
That would be
great.
Rather
than people trying to write something down, they can click on a link from the church.
Great. We'd be glad to promote that and make that available for our listeners and our and families in our church and really all over the valley.
Sure.
Let me ask you this, Keith. Are there particular signs that we can be looking for, and if you're a parent, if you're a children's worker, a youth worker, a teacher, a coach, are there things that you should be aware of that might tip you off that you've got a young girl that might be moving in this direction or already in the early stages of being exploited?
There are some red flags. One of the biggest ones is if you're a friend, if you're a parent, if you're a teacher, if you're a Sunday school teacher, a friend within the local church, in the neighborhood, in the school, or whatever, just some changes in their personality and demeanor. You know, happy-go-lucky kids are not any longer happy-go-lucky. They seem to be tired, stressed, possibly getting into addictive behavior, depressed, not eating well, self-harm, talking about a boyfriend that's older, that's never seen. Some of those red flags are things to look out for. There would be another list of red flags I know that we have through the Lampstand, and I could send that to you as a link so that you could have just a list of resources. There's an ever-changing red flag list of things to be on the lookout for, but traffickers are very creative, and one example would be some of the kids that have been trafficked are never taken from the home, never taken out of the country, or even transported across state lines. They're trafficked while they're living at home.
Wow.
And you're thinking, how in the world could that happen?
Yes.
It's usually between the end of school hours and, say, supper time. The child will say, I'm in an after-school activity or I'm on a sports team, and they're not.
Mm.
They're just being trafficked between those 2 to 3 hours. Then they return home. And they're so embarrassed to admit that maybe something is going on that's not appropriate or whatever. They don't want to bring it to light. Years ago, and I'm trying to think how many years ago, it was up in Northern Virginia, the richest county in the United States is Fairfax, I believe. There was a young lady, personality just changed. Dad couldn't figure out what in the world's going on with her. It just didn't make sense. He just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And finally, she said, okay, Dad, it's extremely embarrassing. I'm really sorry. I wish this had never happened. A party had taken place. Some gang members had lured her to do some stuff that she very ashamed of, and it was filmed, and they blackmailed her.
Mm.
And so literally, at the end of school till supper time, she was trafficked so that no one else would know what's going on, because that she could all of a sudden say, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. And so the trafficker would say, okay, well, your dad works these hours, your mom's not home these hours, and you have younger siblings at home these hours, right? Yeah. And so you want to go against me, and I know all these things about your family now? So, wow, I got to protect my family. I can't stop now or tell anybody out of fear or retaliation. So after this young lady came forward and shared with the dad got in touch with law enforcement. And the potential list, not everybody who was trafficked, but the potential list of victims that have been contacted and interviewed exceeded 800.
Wow.
And that was within the school system.
That is shocking.
And it wasn't until one parent realized something's not right with my kid and I've just got to keep digging. And when he dug, he found out a lot more than he ever wanted to.
You might not only be rescuing your own child, but somebody
else's.
A
lot of others, exactly.
Wow. As mom and dads, we need to remember that parenting is a 24/7 calling. It's something that
we
don't take
a rescue
from.
It's much tougher now than it's ever been.
It is. It is indeed. In fact, let's talk about that when it comes to the workers, Keith. Let's talk a little bit more about those that work with Lampstand and try to help girls who are brought to them. You say, or Lampstand says in its information online that they describe their work as holistic. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
There's a lot of different factors that go into when you're working with a child, so or anybody, an adult for that matter. You've got their mental health, their physical health, their spiritual health, the kind of trauma that they've gone through, education that they've exceeded in or they've been withheld from, the food insecurities, which has been used against them, clothing, decision-making, lack of decision-making. So when you look at a holistic approach, you're not just providing a safe place, okay? No one's going to harm you here. You've got your own bed. You're going to have three meals a day. We're going to help you with your school. And a very difficult thing would be to say, okay, and then we're going to have church. Well, if you've got a kid that's been abused by a youth pastor and they go out for pizza all the time, if you say we're going to have pizza and we're going to have church, those are two tremendous triggers for this kid. So while you're determining the best way to care for these kids, you're trying to find out what are their triggers and what are some of the things that we can do. So when you say holistic, we want to make sure as we're sharing the hope found in Christ and restoration, when we say restoration too, that's difficult because if this child has been raised in a home, all they remember is a broken family, why do you want to be restored to a broken family? So that's a struggle I've had. Because I had a great family. I didn't have, you know, difficult situations in my past. So we're really saying a new beginning, a new start for the girls that come through the Lampstand. We want you to have a new start. We want you to have a new life. Because if you're looking back on your past and we want to take you there, why in the world would I want to go back to that? So holistically, we want to make sure that we're addressing the number of factors that are needed so that the young girl senses a sense of healing. A newness. So she moves forward into the adult life and some of the triggers that may come, she can deal with them in a healthy way.
So in a lot of ways, you have to, at times, help a young woman, help a teenage girl by redefining what those words mean. Mm-hmm. Because when she hears them, whether it's father or home or family or church, that may bring up a whole different idea to create fear and resentment and withdrawal,
yeah,
which are the very things you're trying to break down to help the person with.
Yeah, some of her realities have just been twisted. And so how do we bring back this is something good? Like, for example, we have a boutique. The girls can shop for clothing. Mm-hmm. We get new clothes that are donated, and the girls pick out their clothing. Often they were not allowed to shop for their own clothing as a victim. They're not allowed to choose their nail color, hair color, or style of hair. We have a salon, you know, at the safe house where beauticians are screened and they come in and they help the girls' hair color or hairstyle, get their nails painted. This is your choice. Some healthy, simple things that we just take for granted. These are decisions maybe they haven't been able to make, but now they get to make these decisions, which are big steps. And that's just another part of the healing process. These are some things that you do have control over, and just to help them to realize that.
Because they're coming from a world where they've lost control. They feel like they've lost control.
Sure.
And so all they can do is do what they're told.
They've been obedient to somebody as their master. Mm. Correct.
I imagine that many of our listeners cannot even begin to dream of some of the terrible situations that many girls have been forced to live through because of the cruelty and the wickedness of others who have abused them. This place of refuge called the Lampstand, or the Lampstand Safe House that we're talking about, it says that they believe that ultimately both healing and hope are found in Jesus.
Correct.
Explain to our listeners, Keith, for just a moment, what that means and why that is an essential part of how Lampstand approaches their work of helping others.
That is great. But our verse, the Lampstand, we make sure that Everything that we do is just not a cool, creative name and has scripture behind it. Initially, before it was the Lampstand, it was Street Ransom. Street Ransom changed the name because our work with survivors, we realized the term ransom, you're always feeling like it's coming from something in the past that's dangerous, which is true. But if you're always the Street Ransom name around that, you always want to be looking over your shoulder necessarily. So working with victims, working with other agencies, we realized we needed to change the name. But the name came from Matthew 20:24. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And that's where the name Street Ransom originated, when we were looking for a name. And it served its purpose for a time. Now with the Lampstand, it's Matthew 5:14-16. I did not wear my glasses, so wish me luck here. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same manner, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Amen. So the Lampstand name is from there. So these girls need to realize, and they can realize, that they have the opportunity. They are not the light, but they can be the lampstand that the light shines through for others to see. So even though they've gone through a horrific past, which we do not know why it was allowed or permitted, but it can be used for God's glory, and that's what we're holding on to, they can let the light of Christ shine through them. They can be his lampstand to others in the community. Say, "Wow, you went through that and you have your hope in Christ. You know, we need to talk a little bit here." And so that is our hope. They come to Christ and allow him to make the lasting change, to create a new life in them and allow his light to shine through them, that they will be his lampstand. And that's where the name originates from.
Wow, what a beautiful verse and a beautiful ministry vision, Keith. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. You know, this has been a great conversation, and I want to thank you so much for stopping by and talking with us today about this new and wonderful ministry called Lampstand, which I believe came online in March.
It did.
Of this year. And would you please, as we prepare to wrap things up, tell us how someone can find out more about the Lampstand Safe House for either sake of supporting this ministry or helping someone else buy it?
Sure. But you would be, the easiest way is to go to the website, and that's thelampstandva.org, all spelled out, thelampstandva.org. Our Facebook page is the same. You can find information on those two pages that provide a lot of detail. The web host and the Facebook coordinator, they do an amazing job of keeping everything up to date. So that, I would say, that's the best way to find information, red flags, resources, trainings, upcoming events, different things that are available to the community, and ways to support the ministry are there.
Wonderful. And with that good word, we've come to the end of today's podcast. A big thanks to you, Keith, my brother and friend. We so appreciate all that you do to help and minister to the least of these, whom our Lord truly loves so very much, much more than they ever thought possible. May God richly bless you and your family and your ministry impact in the lives of so many others, not only here in our valley, but across our Commonwealth and our nation as well, my brother.
Thank you so much.
Well, friends, that's all the time we have today here on the Star City Podcast. Thank you so much for listening in with us. And if you think about it, then please tell someone else about how they too can join our listening audience each and every week. I'm Brian Smith, reminding you to be sure to always live your life by His grace and for His glory.